This is Quiet Fire, a program about the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln and its relevance to us today. Welcome. This is Duncan Newcomer. Here's a Lincoln quote for you. The mystic chords of memory will yet swell the chorus of the Union. Lincoln is like a hoarse whisperer to the beast of wildfires galloping across America in March of 1861. All hell, like a wildfire, is about to break out across the rest of the country. Lincoln has been speaking for about 30 minutes. He has just been sworn in as president of a country that is about to become more of an unsettled proposition than something proven. This is his first inaugural address. It is a mighty argument. He wants to convince the South that there is a better way to solve this than war. He uses reason. Lincoln loved reason. Reason had brought him out of the drudgery of endless manual labor and subsistence farming into the new promises of civilization. Promises that the French philosophers and the Scottish thinkers of the Enlightenment said were the destiny of humanity. Freedom, equality, happiness. No king as ruler. No priest as arbiter. Lincoln once gave an impassioned speech calling people to make reason their civil religion. The Constitution and the Declaration of Independence were to him what historians have called a civic scripture. Along with reason was logic. This inaugural address has an austere, cold, and steely structure to it. He stated to the South this challenging dilemma. You have no oath registered in heaven to destroy the government, while I have the most solemn one to preserve, protect, and defend it. Lincoln loved logic, and his love of logic led him to teach himself the postulates of Euclid and his logic. So now, at the end of his closing argument, Lincoln is exasperated. He seems almost to be in a rare passion, a kind of angry pique, wanting to throw down the gauntlet, saying, he wrote, "With you, not with me, is the solemn question, shall it be peace or a sword?" But Lincoln's new friend, Secretary of State William Seward, advises him not to be so confrontational. Don't conclude with such a threatening challenge. Conclude, rather, with some words of, quote, affection, some words of calm and cheerful confidence. And so Lincoln's mental and emotional tension breaks, and he opens his heart, his poetic soul, and the hard address ends like a song. His next words now become lyrics. "I am loath to close," he says, and it must have sounded plaintive, even soft. You can imagine some music in the silence that followed, maybe some guitar chords echoing again, "I am loath to close." The song words in Lincoln's heart become, "We are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies." The lyrics become poetry. The mystic chords of memory. And the poetry becomes spiritual. What is more spiritual than mystic chords? And the music of a harmony of multiple voices blended into one song, a song that stirs memories, memories of past common suffering, and one that will yet swell the chorus of the Union. Songs and lyrics don't always make a lot of rational and logical sense, including that song about the Wild Horse Wildfire by Michael Martin Murphy. Lincoln's speech has gone from legal words to choral notes, and what happens when ideas and politics turn into feelings and music? Well, we are touched. And what are we touched with? Lincoln, our national horse whisperer, answers, "The better angels of our nature." The better angels of our nature, that is what spiritual song words can touch. "There can be," says Lincoln, "a harmony in the chords of memory, if we can hear it. the memory of our common stories, our wildfires can become our quiet fire, and we can, by them, be lighted down in honor to the latest generation. This is Duncan Newcomer, and this has been Quiet Fire, the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln.